Heavenly Father, we thank Thee for this wonderful moment, Lord, as we come into Thy presence as the Church of the Living God, New Jerusalem, about whom Thou didst say, Lord, upon this rock I will build my church, and the gates of hell shall not prevail against it. By speaking that word out of Your spoken mouth, You acknowledged that the enemy will fight. The enemy will engage in spiritual warfare, even as in Ephesians chapter 6. The warfare may come from any direction, through anyone, and it's intended to discourage us. But You told us in advance that as long as we are the Church of the Living God, upon this rock, the word of Almighty God, You will build Your church, the same word that created the entire universe, Father, and called the galaxies into existence. That same word that came from the mouth of Almighty God, that was God, is God, and will always be God. You founded Your church upon the holy word spoken by Your apostles and prophets. Father, as we come into Thy presence, we pray once again with that same word with which You called everything into existence. For in the beginning was the Word, and the Word was with God, and the Word was God. And You said, man shall not live by bread alone, but by every word that proceedeth out of the mouth of God. So, Father, speak to us, strengthen us, empower us. For in Your word there is creative power. In Your word there is transformation power. And Your word is all we need, Father. In Jesus' name we pray, Heavenly Father. Amen. Hallelujah. Amen. Let's turn to Mark chapter 4. And verse 39. And Jesus arose and rebuked the wind and said unto the sea, peace be still. And the wind ceased, and there was a great calm. Whatever the situation might be, in the most desperate situation, we see amidst the darkness, amidst the storm, Jesus suddenly shows up. And then everything is totally different after Jesus shows up. Mark 4:39 talks about three words from the mouth of Almighty God that changed the environment. Three words that transformed and strengthened and empowered His disciples. Throughout the Gospels, we see that beautiful ship in which Jesus and His disciples sailed. There was a place in the ship where Jesus could nap and take some rest. Jesus was in the flesh, so He had to get some rest. And it says that He was in a hinder part of the ship, asleep on a pillow. And I'm sure Jesus felt the boat shaking, the wind roaring, the waves coming into the ship. But He was fast asleep. God Almighty, how much patience He has. The devil wants to drown Him, drown His disciples, completely wipe out the plan of salvation, completely crush the boat. And Jesus is quiet. He's like telling the devil, you can do whatever you want. I have the last word. I have three words that I'm going to say, and everything is going to be quiet. That's the way it is. We see in this country all the witches screaming. We want to do this. We want to do this. all the powers of darkness, the prince of this world screaming, we want to take over this country and the rest of the world. And then we wonder, where is God? What is God doing? Why is he allowing these people to do all this stuff? But Jesus is in the hinder part asleep on a pillow. And what does he want us to do? He wants us to go get 3 more pillows and lie down next to him and rest with him. That's what happens when you receive the Holy Spirit. With men of other tongues, will he speak unto this people to whom he said, this is the rest and the refreshing. When we receive the Holy Spirit, we enter into God's rest. And we are not perplexed and screaming and worried like other men. Because the Bible says in Psalm 46, God is our refuge and strength, a very present help in trouble. Therefore will we not fear, though the earth be moved, and though the mountains are cast into the midst of the sea. Perplexity, horror, heart attacks, all these things come from fear. We'll be surprised to know that people that are 6 feet tall have drowned in water that was only 3 feet deep. Why? Can they just not stand up? Well, it was fear that prevented them from standing up. It was fear that kept them from escaping. We have to rise up. The enemy is screaming. Lucifer is yelling and screaming, saying, I'm going to take over the church. I'm going to take over this world. The Bible says in the book of Daniel, that big statue, gigantic statue, head of gold, silver, brass, iron and clay, it was still standing. But then the rock that was carved out of the mountain, the rock was the church of the living God, and it was carved out of the mountain, Jesus Christ, by the word of Almighty God. And the rock struck the feet of the statue, which is all the kingdoms of this world. And all the kingdoms of this world were ground to powder. And the rock became a great mountain and filled the earth. A prophecy which says, your time, O kings and queens and rulers of this world, is only for a certain time. The governors, the president, the prime minister, the dictators can only rule for a certain time. When God's time comes, all kingdoms under the heavens will be given to the saints. All kingdoms in the universe will be given to the saints. Who are the saints? We read from the book of Romans all the way to Revelation, from Acts. These are the saints that abide in the church of the living God. And that is why in the book of Revelation, Jesus is walking among the 7 golden candlesticks. Why golden? The Bible says gold symbolically represents the glory of God. Because in John chapter 17, Jesus said, Father, I will that those whom thou hast given me be one with you and me and the Holy Spirit, even as we are one, a blessed Trinity. And the glory which thou hast given me, I have given unto them, that they may be one, even as we are one. Yes, we were made out of the dust of the earth. But the difference is, God breathed into us His life, and He made us a living soul. And because when God breathed into us, He just didn't breathe oxygen and nitrogen into us. He breathed His DNA into us. When God breathed into us, we inherited the DNA of Almighty God. Remember when Jesus Christ rose from the dead and His disciples were gathered together? He said, "Receive the Holy Spirit." And then He breathed into them. He created them new as the New Testament saints, as the apostles, as new transformed saints of Almighty God. And He arose and rebuked the wind and said unto the sea, "Peace be still." I've never seen anyone talking to the ocean. I've never seen anyone talking to the tree, to the fig tree, until Jesus came. I've never seen anyone talking to the sun until Joshua came. Well, we need to understand that Jesus and the Church of the Living God have authority over the kingdoms of this world, have authority over all created things in this universe. Joshua said, "Sun, stand still." Three words that came out of the mouth of a man of God who was leading the children of Israel to the promised land, that changed destiny, that changed history, that changed eternity. They could have got wiped out by their enemies. There would have been no Israel. All the promises of God would have been in vain. But everything changed because Joshua, instead of going and consulting the psychologists or the counselors, he decided to consult with God. The Bible says, "Then Joshua spake unto the Lord." He was not asking the people, "What am I supposed to do? It's going to get dark and they'll wipe us out. We don't know this terrain." He said, "God, Father, what should I do?" And God said, "Command the sun to stand still and the moon to stop moving." And three words that God told him to utter: "Sun, stand still." And the sun listened to the voice of a man of God and stood still. To the princes and political parties and kings and queens and the enemy and the powers of darkness and virus and all kinds of junk that's out there, you can scream and yell and do whatever you want. We, the Church of the Living God and Jesus Christ, have the last word. When we say stop, you will have to stop. When we say your time is over, your time will be over. Because we are messengers of Almighty God. We are children of Almighty God. God has given us power and authority to be called the sons of Almighty God. We are the sons of the King. That is why we are kings and priests appointed by God. Three words from the mouth of Jesus that changed the environment, that took away the fear from the heart of His disciples. Peace be still. In the 21st century English, it means shut up. Well, I like the King James Version better than the modern translation of shut up. Peace, be still. And the wind ceased, and there was a great calm. We read in Psalm 33 also, beautiful words. God spake, and it was done. What was happening before that? The heathen raged. They were saying, we have to wipe out Christianity. We have to wipe out the church. We have to prevent them from worshiping. We're going to worship the devil and completely change this world. And then what happened? He that sitteth in the heavens shall laugh. The Lord shall have them in confusion. These are the princes and authorities and kings who built the Tower of Babel in the Old Testament, thinking they were smarter than God. They wanted to establish a name for themselves. And now they've created the European Union, the revived Roman Empire, which has the logo of the Tower of Babel. And their emblem is that woman riding on the beast in the book of Revelation. What could be more clear? When I was in seventh grade, we used to have quiz in the class. And one of the questions was, what is the city of heaven, seven hills? Rome, of course, we all knew it. Vatican was right next to it. Vicarius Filii Dei, substitute for the Son of God. There is no substitute for the Son of God. Jesus Christ is God Almighty, King of Kings and Lord of Lords, and He alone is worthy of worship and honor and riches and blessing. And even the 24 elders who are the closest to God's throne fall at His feet and cast their crowns before Him, saying, Thou art worthy to worship, O Lord, for Thou wast slain, and through Thy blood hast gathered us together. Jesus said, peace be still. Everything changed. The wind was gone. The ocean was quiet. It was as if nothing happened. It wasn't Photoshop. It actually happened. The three words that came out of the mouth of Jesus transformed everything. And then in John 11, verse 43 and 44, we see another three words that Jesus spoke. First, He speaks to the ocean and shuts it up. And then He speaks to a dead man. Three words. They were sad. Why didn't He come 4 days back? My brother wouldn't have died. Why did He wait this long? What is God doing? He knows the situation. And then Jesus comes when it's hopeless. There is no more hope. And they say, well, I'm glad You came at least now, Lord Jesus. Well, at least we could take a family picture. There's not much we can do right now. Okay, bring the camera. Let's take a picture with Jesus. Let's go to the tomb and cry a little more. And all the while Jesus keeps saying, I'm the resurrection and the life. And they say, yeah, we know that on the last day, everyone will be raised up. And Jesus says, take away the stone. I said, wait a minute. The guy is going to stink. He's dead 4 days back. And according to Jewish philosophy, if a guy is dead for 4 days, nothing is going to happen. He's gone forever. And the disciples listened to Him and rolled the stone away. When Jesus asked them to do something, they didn't understand it. Their 1 pound brain couldn't comprehend it. They just did it. The Master is asking us. Our little brain is getting fried. We don't have a clue why He's asking us. But we'll do it anyway. We don't have any food, just 5 loaves and 2 fishes and so many thousands. And He's saying, have the family sit down. get all the plates, the spoons and the fork, and place it right in front of them. And then he multiplies the 5 loaves and 2 fishes into 50,000 loaves and 2 fishes. Why can't he do that? Because he's the creator of the universe. And then they roll the stone away. John 11:43-44. Three more words that changed history. Well, Lazarus had died. He was in Abraham's bosom. That was in the bottom of the earth. The Old Testament saints hadn't gone to third heaven yet because Jesus was not crucified and hadn't shed his blood. So Abraham was telling, so what did you see, Lazarus? Oh, the Messiah, the messenger of the new covenant. Are you referring to John the Baptist who's here? Oh, you know, Herod executed him. He's here. John, what is Lazarus talking about? The messenger of the new covenant. John said, don't you know? I came to proclaim him. His name is Jesus the Christ, the Son of God. And Lazarus says, well, I know him. I touched him. He came to eat at my house. But I've left my 2 sisters. And I'm sure the master will take care of them. And it's been 4 days back when I died and came to your bosom. This is so wonderful. But I wish I was with Jesus. And they comfort him. Abraham comforts him. My son, you're in my bosom. You'll be fine. And he tells David, the king, and Moses and Elijah about the wonderful New Testament ministry that Jesus is doing on earth. And then suddenly he hears the voice. Lazarus, come forth. Abraham says, you better go back. That's the boss, the king of the universe, God Almighty. He is calling you. You better go back. And even before Lazarus could decide whether to go back or decide whether to stay, his spirit and his soul came back into his body, slammed, touchdown. He got up. He didn't even wait for someone to untie him. He got up and started walking. If someone like that started walking today in the mall, everyone would be gone. But Jesus said, loose him and let him go. They untied him. That was the 3 words of Jesus. Every word of Jesus is precious. These 3 words, Lazarus came forth. And he that was dead came forth, bound hand and foot with grave clothes, and his face was bound with a napkin. Jesus saith unto them, loose him and let him go. Now the greatest climax is about to happen. Revelation 16:17. And the 7th angel poured out his vial into the air, and when he poured out his vial into the air, there came a great voice from the temple of heaven, from the throne, saying, it is done. 3 words from the mouth of Almighty God. It is done. And then we read from chapter 16, verse 17 onwards, everything goes to a climax. And then the angels and the saints in heaven are crying, the kingdoms of this world have become the kingdoms of our Lord and of his Christ. And they see Jesus riding on a white horse. And his saints are also riding on horses, clean and white. And they come and make war with the Antichrist. Jerusalem is surrounded by armies. And they've almost overcome Jerusalem. And Jesus fights with them with the sword of his mouth. and all of them are killed, and Jerusalem is safe, the Jews are safe, and the Antichrist and the beast and the false prophet are bound and thrown into the lake of fire for 1,000 years. And God establishes his kingdom on earth with his saints. And 1,000 years later, the white throne judgment and eternity begins with the new heaven and the new earth and the new Jerusalem coming down from God. All because of three words: it is done. 2,000 years back, those three words came from the mouth of Jesus on the cross. Father, forgive them. God already forgave everyone, whether they accepted it or not. But 99.9% of the people that are born into this world go into hell because they have rejected the forgiveness that God has already given unto them. God has already given them the forgiveness, and they all end up in the lake of fire because they've rejected it. The governor sent a pardon to the prison and said, "The governor has pardoned you, prisoner. You can come out, you're free." And the prisoner said, "Nope, I won't accept the pardon of the governor. He has forgiven you." "Nope, I don't want that forgiveness." Well, then the judge said, "If you don't accept the pardon of the governor, you'll have to go to the electric chair. You'll have to die." And that's what's happening. Those who are in hell in the lake of fire, they want to hear the gospel preached at least one more time. All they think about in hell is Jesus, Jesus, Jesus. "Oh, I wish I had a chance to speak to the Jesus, talk to the Jesus." But separated for all eternity. Father, forgive them. It was all completed on the cross. And then, with a loud voice, three more words that changed history and our destiny and our eternity: "It is finished." And that's the same word that God the Father utters in the book of Revelation 16:17. "It is done. It is finished." One day I was praying to the Lord for a very important matter. It was such a big mountain of a request for me. And Jesus spoke to me in the spirit and said, "It is finished. Don't you remember what I said on the cross of Calvary? Even before you were born, I planned your life and your future and your eternity. It is already done. Why do you keep jumping up and down and hitting the floor as if everything depends on your prayer? Pray. Prayer is so that you can be transformed and you can be prepared to receive the blessing. Not because I've forgotten and you've got to wake me up." It is finished. It is done. Whatever the problem for the children of Almighty God, whether it is sickness, whether it is financial problem, whether it is deliverance from sins, whether it is baptism of the Holy Spirit, whether it is obeying the word and being joined into the church of the living God, whether it is peace in the family, whatever it is finished. When Jesus shed his last drop of blood, he completed it on the cross of Calvary 2,000 years back. And Revelation 16:17 says, "It is done." For us, it might be the future tense, because we still have to put gasoline in the car. We still have to buy new tires. We still have to take our car for an oil change. We have to fix it. And we have to drive to work. And we have to do this and that and then come back and take care of so many things. We still have to make our own sandwich. We don't go to the kitchen and the sandwich doesn't show up saying, "Here am I." But the time is coming when we will be entering into rest, even as God entered into rest. It is done. It is finished. God has completed everything for us. For us, it might be the future tense, but for God, it is the past tense. God thinks the future in the past. We think the future in the future because our watch hasn't made that revolution yet. For God, everything is fine. That is why when God talks, He talks about how wonderful that New Jerusalem is and how wonderful it is that the rapture is over and we are all back home and we are enjoying His presence, that we are seated in heavenly places. That is why God liked Abraham. Because when God talked to the future in the past tense, Abraham believed God and counted the things which be not as they were. When God said, Abraham, do you see this precious baby Isaac? Abraham said, oh, of course, Lord, I see him. What a precious baby. I can even hear him crying. That's the kind of faith that God wants us to have. Peace, be still. Lazarus, come forth. Father, forgive them. It is finished. It is done. May the Lord bless these words and strengthen us. And continue to speak to us. So man shall not live by bread alone, but by every word that proceedeth out of the mouth of God.